Welcome to Transformed by Grace, an in-depth Bible study of God's Word presented by the Berean Bible Society. Join us each time on this station as Pastor Kevin brings the transforming message of God's grace revealed through the Holy Scriptures.
During this time in God's Word, we're going to consider the question, what must I do to be saved? That's the most important question a person could ask. There is an eternal hell that we need to be saved from. We need to ask, what must I do to be saved from it? The answer must be found by looking into the Word of God, because it is the only true authority for answering this question. But you may be surprised to find that the answer to that question changed throughout the ages and dispensations as God's plans with mankind changed. Many are led down the wrong path by deception or church tradition or their own opinion to believe the wrong thing about how they must be saved. Some people try salvation by sincerity, or that it really doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. But a person can be sincerely wrong. I could pick up a glass of water, take a drink of it, sincerely thinking that it's water, but if it's poisoned, I'd be sincerely dead. Some people believe in salvation by service, believing that they can do many good things and work their way to heaven. Some believe in salvation by subtraction. You give up a bunch of things, and then you get to heaven thinking, I don't drink, and I don't smoke, I don't cuss, chew, or run around with girls that do. Some try salvation by ritual. I was water baptized, or I take the communion, or I am a member of so-and-so church. But joining a lion's club doesn't make you a lion. Sitting in a hen house doesn't make you a chicken. Some believe in salvation by heritage. My mom was a Christian. My grandmother was a Christian. And so I'm a Christian, too. And there's salvation by comparison. I'm not as bad as so-and-so. I'm better than him. I've never killed anybody. I'm not that bad. Salvation isn't by sincerity, service, subtraction, ritual, heritage, or comparison. Salvation is by grace and grace alone through faith in Christ, not of works. It is a free gift. What does the Bible say? That's what's most important. Always what's most important. But even with the Bible, many are misled by Scripture being misinterpreted and misapplied by teachers and preachers who do not rightly divide the word of truth. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." We can read Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. And we see and we know that this is true. And we know that salvation is by grace through faith, not by works. But what do you do with verses such as these? Mark 16, 16. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Acts 2, 38. "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and he shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Acts 15:1. "Certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren, and said, Except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved." Psalm 19, verse 7. "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul." Matthew 19, 16 and 17. "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." James 2, 20, 21 and 24. "But what wilt thou know, O vain man? That faith without works is dead. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Hebrews 3:14. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. John 15:6. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Mark 13:13. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. 2 John, verse 9. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Revelation 3, verse 5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father. Luke 13, verse 3. I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Acts 3:19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Luke 3:7-11. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance. And the people asked him, saying, What shall we do then? He answered and saith unto them, He that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. And he that hath meat, let him do likewise. Luke 18, verses 18 to 22. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, All these have I kept from my youth up. And when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. Matthew 19:29. And every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive an hundredfold, and shall inherit everlasting life. Matthew 6:14-15. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. 1 John 1:9, If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There was a minister out taking a walk on a quaint and quiet street, and he noticed a small boy attempting to ring a doorbell on the porch of a house. The boy was short, the doorbell was higher than usual, and the boy couldn't quite reach it. The minister stepped up to the porch beside the boy and reached up and rang the doorbell for the boy, and looking down at him, he said, And now what, young man? And the boy said, Now we run like crazy. As you look at all these verses, it makes you ask, Now what? What do you do with all these verses that show salvation requiring works? That salvation includes water baptism, keeping the law, confession of sins, doing good things, forsaking family, forgiving others, selling all you have, abiding in Christ, enduring to the end to be saved. All of that I read there is God's word. So it is authoritative. This should make us pause and question, how can salvation be by grace through faith, not of works, yet there are all these verses that include all kinds of works for salvation? So this should logically make us question that to be saved, do I need to be water baptized? Do I need to confess my sins continually? Do I need to keep the commandments of God's law? Do I need to do good works to be justified and not just have faith only? Do I need to repent and demonstrate fruit in my life that shows repentance? Do I need to endure to the end, abide in Christ, and overcome? Do I need to sell all that I have and give to the poor? Do I need to forgive others in order to be forgiven? And the answer to all that is no. You don't have to do any of that. What this all shows us is that we need to rightly divide the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." When you rightly divide the word of truth, you don't need to wonder and doubt and worry or be weighed down in life thinking that you have to endure to the end or confess your sins constantly or forgive others in order to be forgiven. None of that's part of the gospel that's valid for today. The gospel that's valid for today is the gospel of the grace of God. We need to rightly divide the word so we know what is written directly to us and what is written to the nation of Israel in the Bible. We need to rightly divide the word so we know what the gospel is that saves us from our sins. What is written directly to us through the Apostle Paul is Ephesians 2:8-9, that salvation is by grace through faith in Christ and not of works. Salvation is a done deal the second you believe. Salvation under grace happens in a moment of time. The moment you trust that Christ died for your sins and rose again. And at that moment, you are declared righteous by God and you are redeemed and set free from your sins. You are baptized by the Holy Spirit into Christ and sealed there eternally by the Spirit. From that point on, we live in enjoyment and joy of being complete in Christ, forgiven of all of our sins and at peace with God eternally. We rest in Christ and His finished work. We live lives of gratitude and thanksgiving for our freedom from our sins because of Christ and His grace.
We'll be returning to the program in just a minute. But first, we'd like to take this time to thank you, our partners, for making these programs possible. If you would like to access our library of helpful Bible study tools, go to BereanBibleSociety.org.
Revelation, Volume 3, is a hardcover 228-page commentary written by Pastor Paul M. Sadler and covers Revelation 14:1 through 19:21. In this third volume, we transition from Revelation chapter 13 to chapter 14, where the scene shifts dramatically from the Antichrist, who claims to be the Messiah, to the Lamb of God, who is the true Christ. To order your copy, contact the Berean Bible Society for pricing and availability at 262-255-4750 or visit our website at www.bereanbiblesociety.org.
To receive our free, full-color 32-page monthly magazine, The Berean Searchlight, call 262-255-4750 or subscribe online at www.bereanbiblesociety.org. Thank you again for your generous gifts. And now, back to the teaching with Pastor Kevin.
Romans 16:26 speaks of the obedience of faith. Faith trusts and does what God requires. It believes and obeys what God asks and commands when He commands it. Today, under grace, the obedience of faith for salvation is to trust that Christ died for my sins and rose again, and that's it. It is to trust that salvation is by grace through faith in Christ, plus absolutely nothing. But the obedience of faith in time past for salvation wasn't this at all. Moses did not believe Christ died for my sins and rose again to be saved from his sins. Esther did not share the gospel of the grace of God. Elijah didn't say to be saved by Christ alone. Joshua didn't tell Israel that we have redemption through Christ's blood to forgiveness of sins. Those in previous dispensations were not saved through faith in Christ shed blood on their behalf. They were saved by their faith in God, in obeying and doing what God required of them at that time. And that's what pleases God, taking Him at His word, placing our faith in what He asks us to. God never changes, but God's dealings with mankind have changed over time, and this includes salvation and the terms of acceptance with God. From the account of Abel, during the dispensation of conscience, we find that at first blood sacrifices were necessary for acceptance with God. Hebrews 11:4 states, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts." Many years later, with Abraham, during the dispensation of promise, circumcision was then required by God. In order to come under the covenant made with Abraham, they had to be circumcised. Genesis 17:10 says, "This is my covenant, which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man-child among you shall be circumcised." And the importance of obeying God's requirements is shown as God stated that an uncircumcised man was guilty of breaking the covenant and that that soul should be cut off from the people. So now you have both blood sacrifices and circumcision required for acceptance with God. The law was then added because of transgressions, Galatians 3:19 says. And during the dispensation of the law, obedience to the Mosaic law was strictly demanded for acceptance with God. Romans 10:5 says, "For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them." Deuteronomy 27:26 says, "Cursed be he that confirmeth or performs not all the words of this law to do them." God revealed that those who were placed under the law were responsible to keep all the law, all 613 commandments, and to bring the proper blood sacrifices when they broke the law. So now you have blood sacrifices, circumcision, and keeping the law required for acceptance with God, because blood sacrifices and circumcision were then made a part of God's law at that time. The obedience of faith at that time did what God required. And by faith, as people in Israel faithfully kept the law, were circumcised, brought the proper blood sacrifices, they were saved. If they didn't do those things, they weren't. Later again, still during the dispensation of the law, as the kingdom drew close in Israel's latter days, and Christ's earthly ministry began, the gospel of the kingdom was proclaimed. And in preparation for the kingdom, the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins and belief in Jesus as Israel's Messiah and King was required of people at that time. So now you had blood sacrifices, circumcision, keeping the law, and the gospel of the kingdom. Repentance, water baptism, and belief in Christ as Messiah was required at that time for acceptance with God. The gospel of the kingdom required Israel to repent. They were in a covenant relationship with God, and they were to repent of their breaking of God's covenant of the law as a nation and individually. And they were called by John the Baptist and the Lord to turn back to God, to bring fruits and do works, which demonstrated a changed heart and mind. They were also required to be water baptized because they were a kingdom of priests, Exodus 19 talks about. And to be initiated into the priesthood under the law, they needed to be sprinkled with water. They needed to believe that Jesus was who he claimed to be, that he was their Messiah, their deliverer, their king, and God's own son. The gospel of the kingdom also involves all the teachings of the gospels and the Hebrew epistles, of the confession of sins for salvation, to forgive others in order to be forgiven, to sell all that they had and give to the poor, to forsake family and follow Christ, to endure to the end, abide in Christ, and overcome. After Israel's rejection of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, Israel fell and today has been temporarily set aside. Romans 11:11-12 says, "I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall?" In other words, fallen beyond recovery. And Paul says, "God forbid. But rather, through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness?" Israel stumbled, fell, and they have diminished as their program has been temporarily set aside, and they've lost the prominence that they once had in God's program with her in the past. But when Israel fell, instead of bringing in the prophesied tribulation period, which was next in his dealings with mankind, God in his grace instead chose to turn to the world in grace and give all an opportunity to be saved by faith alone in Christ's finished work. It is through Israel's fall that blessing is poured out on the world in the form of the gospel of grace through faith in Christ alone. The world is receiving God's riches today through Israel's fall. And one day, that Romans 11 passage teaches that the world will be blessed when Israel rises to her spiritual fullness through Christ, and then she'll be the channel of riches and blessing to the world within the millennial kingdom. After God temporarily set Israel aside, he ushered in a new dispensation which had been hid in the mind of God, the dispensation of the grace of God. And God's terms of acceptance have changed once again. The gospel revealed by Jesus Christ from heaven to the Apostle Paul for this dispensation is the gospel of the grace of God, Acts 20, 24. This is the only gospel for today. This gospel tells us that we are saved by grace and grace alone through faith, not of works. The gospel of the kingdom is not for us today. Keeping the law is not for us today. Religious circumcision as required under the law is not for us today. Bringing blood sacrifices is not for us today. The confession of sins for salvation is not for us today. To forgive others in order to be forgiven is not for us today. To sell all that we have and give to the poor, that's not for us today. To demonstrate fruits of repentance, not for us today. To endure, abide in Christ, and overcome unto the end, not for us today. During this present dispensation of grace, God says, place your faith in Christ alone and do absolutely nothing. Salvation is by grace through faith alone, entirely apart from works, without any required outward response to fulfill. So for salvation under grace, man must just simply trust in Christ and in his finished work and accept salvation as the free gift of God's grace. And our response for the obedience of faith today is to do nothing to be saved. Just simply trust Christ. God's grace says, I've taken care of everything inside and out. God's grace says, accept it, believe it. It's the truth. It's done. And as the Lord said from the cross, it is finished. God in his grace by the cross has provided for our salvation completely and fully. While God refuses any works for salvation today, again, it's important to remember that God did require works for salvation in the past under other dispensations. He required that man's faith be manifested by his works. And that's why James would say in James 2:24, ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. James is writing for another program, a program which did require that a person's faith be manifested by works. But it's important to note, too, that the works that God required under all those other dispensations, in themselves, those works never saved anyone. They were for the purpose of an expression of their faith. It was their faith that saved them, in their obedience of faith in doing what God required at that time. Salvation and acceptance with God under Israel's program included faith plus works manifesting their faith. A gospel of faith plus works through the Jews is the earthly prophetic program's gospel for Israel. A message of faith plus nothing is the heavenly mystery program's message and gospel for the body of Christ. The truth of the gospel for today can be lost or diluted or confused because of a failure to rightly divide. And when elements from Israel's program and the gospel of the kingdom are added to the gospel of the grace of God for today, but God wants his gospel of grace to be kept pure. Confusion reigns, and the pure gospel can be lost when the word is not rightly divided, and when the programs and dispensations and gospels of the Bible are all mixed and muddled together. It shows us again how important it is to rightly divide the word of truth, because most importantly, with the doctrine of salvation, people's eternal destinies are weighing in the balance with a correct interpretation of God's word. The Philippian jailer asked the Apostle Paul in Acts 16, "What must I do to be saved?" And today it's just like what Paul said to him. He was basically, "Do absolutely nothing, just believe." And he told him, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." Just believe the gospel, the good news that Christ died for your sins personally, that he was buried and that he rose again the third day. That's what saves us. Gordon MacDonald writes, "Being a frequent flyer makes it possible for me to get a seat in the exit row of most airline flights with great legroom." But he said, "With privilege comes responsibility." The flight attendant comes up, kneels by my aisle seat, and says, "Have you read the instruction card that tells you how to open the door in the case of an emergency?" And she tells me, "I need a verbal answer." I fudge the truth a bit and say, "Yes," when the truthful answer is no. I mean, does it take a rocket scientist to know that you simply swivel the handle and push the door out to the side? So I tell her, "Yes, I've read the card." But she's smart. She says, "If an emergency happens, I'll be depending on you to open that door. Dozens of other people will be relying on you too. So are you sure you know what's on that card?" And suddenly she has my attention, he says. Are you sure you know what the gospel is? People, lost souls, are depending on us to understand it and hold out the correct, unmixed, pure gospel that truly saves those who believe. With the privilege of knowing what the true gospel is for today comes responsibility. God would have us stand for it, protect it, and make it known. People today need the assurance that the gospel is true. And as we rightly divide God's word, we can give people this assurance. Paul's gospel of grace is the only and true gospel for today, which saves people from hell. This gospel proclaims that Christ and his sacrifice on the cross was absolutely all sufficient. This gospel says there's nothing for you to do for your salvation. The gospel says Christ paid it all. And the gospel says just believe. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast.
Thank you again for tuning in to Transformed by Grace. We appreciate your prayer support and the financial gifts. The purpose and mission of the Berean Bible Society is to help you understand the whole counsel of the Word of God. For more information, visit our website at www.bereanbiblesociety.org or give us a call at 262-255-4750. Or if you prefer, write us at the Berean Bible Society, P.O. Box 756, Germantown, Wisconsin, 53022. Now until next time, may you be transformed by God's grace.